It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
It's 12:12 on the West Coast right now, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. It's that time again, and as always, I'm here to talk some reality TV with you on robhasawebsite.com. Today, I am here bringing you a bit of a special show, although the guests are special, but I mean, you guys get them a lot because they're great, and you guys know that. So I personally love doing fantasy drafts because I'm a dork. I love playing fantasy football and fantasy hockey and all these sorts of things. And I love Survivor. So today I thought, well, you know, I've done a fantasy draft for Big Brother 17. I've done a fantasy draft for Survivor Cambodia. Why not do it again? What could go wrong, guys, if we were to do one more time for Survivor 32? So here we are today doing the Survivor Co Wrong fantasy draft. And I'm very lucky because I've got my partners in crime here, as always, with me, Taryn Armstrong, Alex Kidwell, and Brent Wagma. Guys, how are you doing today?
Doing great.
Now, it's Valentine's Day. Also, for those of you listening to this in the audio archive, so very special day for a lot of people. I think, as far as I know, the only one of us who has a significant other is Brent. So, Brent, do you and your partner have any fun plans for today?
No, we don't. He's actually not even here, so I'm sure I'll be watching, like, you know, adult movies later on or something. But for real, I did get him to finally get me a new computer. I know I've been talking about this in previous podcasts, but we have bought it. It is coming. It should be here tomorrow, hopefully, if the snow doesn't get us. And so I'm excited. My recurring problem has been the fact that the computer that works with Blab won't work with my microphone, and the computer that works with my microphone won't work with Blab. So you see my problem. So that's why I have been using this kind of computer and talking to you like this, you know, with a ghetto mic, while Alex and Taryn have, you know, fabulous mics talking to.
It's okay, Brent. No, wait, as long as, you know, you'll get it figured out at some point and you still sound great. And also, I mean, really, if we think about it, your volume is probably going to be the loudest at certain points compared to the rest of us. So, okay. So that'll make up for it. So we'll be fine.
Fabulous. I'm ready to go.
Okay, guys. So yes, we are here doing our Survivor Co Wrong fantasy draft. I've done one with Godfrey and Neha from Big Brother Canada 3. I did one with Kevin, Sarah, and Johnny Calatrulio, also from Big Brother Canada 3. That was for the Survivor Cambodia draft. This time, we're keeping it in-house. We're doing it only RHAP peeps, so should be very fun. How this is going to work, if you haven't checked out one of these before, if you're new to the Happy Hour, a lot of these people do these fantasy drafts, and it's like, all right, okay, Taryn is going to take Ty Trang, and for every confessional Ty Trang gets, Taryn gets a point, and for every vote Ty Trang gets, 1/10 of a point gets taken off, and for every immunity he wins, that's just way too complicated. We don't need to do any of that kind of stuff. We are doing what Dom and Colin might call a must-win draft. So in order to win this thing, you have to pick the winner of Survivor Co Wrong. So keeping it simple, should be nice and easy and lots of fun. I am very excited for it. Now, what I am starting to realize as we're recording this live on Blab, we got a chat here. We did not actually determine the draft order. So this is going to be very interesting. How are we going to do this? And right now, you can probably tell that I'm just talking to stall and try and figure out something in my brain because I don't really know. What I think we should do is I think I'm going to leave it up to, you know what? I love all of you very much. You guys are all great people. But you know what? I think it'll be the most entertaining if I let Brent determine who picks where. So Brent, you have the floor. Do you want the first pick? Do you want me to have the last pick? Do you want me to have the first pick? I'll let you do it because I'm sure you'll have a good strategy because you're great.
Just because I want to see him fall on his face so badly, I feel like that the pretty boy in the room, Taryn, should have the first pick because, you know, if he has all the field, if he has all the field to choose from and he still screws it up, then I got something to laugh about. So Taryn gets the first pick and then Alex and then myself, and then JP, you know, you're the host, so you have to come at the end.
Okay, cool. So we'll do it like that. So we'll go Taryn, Alex, Brent, myself, and then it's a snake draft. So what happens is Taryn will pick one. So it'll go Taryn, Alex, Brent, me, and then we'll go back up the ladder, me, Brent, Alex, Taryn, and then we'll keep going. We have 16 people that we're going to pick amongst the four of us because 4 into 18 does not equal in. So we're going to have two people left over. In order to determine who gets those last two people, I need your guys' help. So if you guys are in the chat right now, I want you guys to apply. You guys get to be – we're throwing this to you guys. One of you guys is going to get those last two picks, and you're going to compete against Taryn, Alex, Brent, and myself. And it's going to be very embarrassing if we lose because we're picking through 16, and we're giving you the last two people. So in order to get that pick, if you are interested, one of the 58 of you or 59 of you watching this right now, send me an email. Go to wherever you have your emails, whether it's the Hotmail or the Gmail or the Yahoo or whatever, go type in J Parhar, so that's J-P-A-R-H-A-R, B-B-C-A-N, so that's B-B-C-A-N, at gmail.com. And then in the subject line, just say draft, and then give me a reason why you think you deserve those last two picks. And at the end of the show, we're going to kick one of these fools off. You're going to come on and talk, and you're going to you will explain your last two picks. I think it's going to be very fun, and I'm excited. And hopefully this underdog person really wins, because that would be hilarious.
Yeah, hopefully all our credibility is undermined. That would be awesome.
I think it would be great.
Let's make that happen.
All right. Before we get into it, guys, don't forget to subscribe to the Rehappy Hour. Go to robiswebsite.com/Rehappy Hour. That's Happy Hour with an R at the front. You can check out these guys. Last week, they did their Big Brother Canada top 10 rankings show. The week before that, I talked to Godfrey Manguiza about his game on Big Brother Canada 3. So if you're into the Big Brother Canada, there's a lot of cool stuff in there. Should have some more Survivor stuff on there, but check that out. All right, Taryn, the floor is yours, my friend. You have the first overall pick. Which direction are you going?
This keeps happening to me. It's so stressful having the first pick.
Wait. Hold on. Is it going to be Hayden Moss?
Well, obviously. I think Hayden Moss has a better chance than any one of these random people would have, obviously.
Oh, of course. I mean, it definitely should go in that direction.
You know what? Actually, okay. I'll call Hayden Moss. He's coming back to Survivor someday, and he's going to win. That's what I'll call.
Okay.
Hot take. Okay, here we go. Okay, Taryn, let's make your pick. Let's hear it. Come on. People are waiting. Right.
So I think I have to go. I have to go with Liz. I have to go with Liz, number one.
Liz Markham. All right. Wow. Here we go. First off the board. I was not anticipating her to go first. Why that decision there, Taryn?
Yeah, it's just I'm picking the person I want to see do well. I honestly don't think she's gonna win. Usually the person I want to see.
Then why would you take her first?
They don't usually win because you know, I don't think anyone in particular is gonna win necessarily. Like, you know, I might as well pick the person I like and I get to root for her while she plays the game, right?
That's fair. Very good. Okay. Good observation. Now, Liz was, you guys are familiar, she was referred to casting by Stephen Fishback. So do you think that that's going to help her at all, Brent? Do you think Stephen might have given her some tips?
Well, if she plays the game like Stephen, I don't think that's going to help her at all. Come on.
Oh, jeez.
No tea, no shade, but, you know, I mean, like, you know, he's got his whale. He's got to get the whale, and then swiftly gets voted off because of the whale. So, yeah, no, that didn't go over so well.
Poor Steven. Any final thoughts on Liz, Alex?
Yeah, I like Liz. I like everything she brings to the table skill-wise. I think she's just really screwed by position. I think it's going to be impossible for people not to just see her immediately. Like, she's an attractive girl. And my first thought, if I showed up, like, obviously I'd be all brains because I don't belong on either of the other two, that's for sure. But the day I show up, I'm going to look at this girl and be like, why is she on this tribe? And my immediate thought is going to be, and you hear her talk and she's a quantitative strategist. I feel like it's just going to be very hard for her to have like real lasting power in this game. But I think it's unfortunate because I think if her and, you know, obviously we'll talk about Anna later, but I think if her and Anna were swapped and they very easily could be, you know, they're both capable of being on brains and beauty, that Liz is like the clear winner's pick. But because she's on brains, I think there's a little bit of adversity she has to face. That's not fair, but nobody said Survivor was fair, you know?
No, unfortunately, he's not.
If you watch Survivor at all, though, you know that people like Jatia were on the Brains tribe. So I don't know that that's a really big indicator.
Hey, she loves nerds. She loves nerds, Brent. How dare you? She loves nerds.
But what's the bigger, like, kind of exclamation point? That Jatia was on the Brains tribe, or that Jatia builds rockets for a living? Because she actually does do the things that make her a brain. It's just terrifying to think about the fact that that's reality.
Like, that's who's building Survivor. That is who's building our rockets. Yes. It's scary. It's, or your rockets, I should say. I'm a Canadian, right. So I'm safe.
You're safe up there in the Yukon. Right.
Yes. The Yukon is where I live. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know about Liz. I'm excited for her. Personally, I know that's a good point, Alex, that you brought up. But for me, and partially because I'm, you know, a relatively young male, I feel like I would just be blinded by Liz, and I probably would. She'd just play me, as would happen to me when I was on reality TV. I think that I would just get completely fooled. But you look at some of these guys on that tribe. Neil is, you know, he's older. Joe is on that tribe too. And then I'm drawing a blank as the other brain on the tribe for the men. But
Bader.
You know what?
Bader.
Yeah. So there. I don't know. I think that they're. You're probably right. I feel like she's gonna get got. Unfortunately, I'm rooting for her like you, Taryn, but. A little nervous for Liz. Alex, let's go to you. You've got the number two pick.
All right. Well, the chat room has me pretty well pegged because they've named the two people that I'm between at this point. and really, a lot of it comes down to positioning, like just placement, where I think, you know, based on the personalities they're surrounded by, who I think is kind of just positioned to do well. And yeah, Umberto knows me. I'm going to end up going here with Beast Mode Darnell.
Oh, Darnell, big upset. Yeah. King Darnell goes number two in the draft, and I am so disappointed because I wanted King Darnell. He is such a great guy. He seems awesome. Explain the pick of Darnell, Alex.
Okay, so I mean, you know, just on initial kind of, you know, on Darnell's kind of bio and profile and all that alone, I think he has the skills and the knowledge of the game to go far. But more than anything, I think it's his position on that tribe that really excites me. I don't see him being the first out from that group under any circumstance. I just can't envision a scenario where, like, just Kyle and Scott are going to bro down. Like, I don't see any way that the two big tattooed guys aren't going to be thick as thieves. And that's just going to leave a dynamic where, like, they're going to need Darnell. The girls are going to need Darnell. Everyone will need his vote. No one's going to be looking at him as a target unless he really does something crazy to mess up. And, you know, he's a postal worker. He's worked with people. You know, he's from the city. Like, he knows how to deal with kind of craziness, I'm sure, because I've lived in a city and it's crazy at times. I think there's a lot to like from Darnell. And I think I'm really excited to see him play because I think no matter what happens, it'll be fun. But I really think that he's just in a good spot.
Now, Taryn, you live in a city. Do you agree? Do you think that that's going to help Darnell?
No. And you know what else I don't think is going to help Darnell? Knowing that he was able to sneak out of the house as a kid, because he mentioned that in his interview. Like, yeah, I was able to sneak out when I was a kid, you know, sneaking with around my mom and stuff. And that's totally going to help me in the game. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Tyler Kakuno in the chat is saying, I'm fearing a GC 2.0. Do we think he could? Is there any G sizzle potential in him, Brent? Do you see that at all?
No, there's no potential for that in him. He seems like he knows what he's doing. I mean, he seems like, you know, he's very grounded and he has a good sense of himself, especially on Twitter and the small interactions that I've seen on his CBS video and then later in his Twitter interactions with Corinne and a few other people. I will say that, I mean, he strikes me as someone who could do well, and he strikes me as someone who could also just, like, lose it at a moment's notice. I mean, he is a postal worker, let me just say, you know. So you never know about these people. It's a little dicey. I think that stereotypes are true for a reason, and I'm a living example. So there you go.
All right, there we go. Brent, you've got the next pick, my friend, so we'll stick with you. Which direction do you want to go? This is hard. It's a hard part of the draft. I mean, first round, lots of people are on the board. There's a lot of good names that are still left. So I'm intrigued to see who you have in mind.
Well, you know, normally before these podcasts, I literally meticulously write down everything I want to say, and I'm very prepared for it. But I decided to do something different this time. I decided to spend all my time doing my hair, which I think was time well spent.
Looks very good, by the way. If you were watching this or listening in the audio archives, please go to Reality TV Rehab Ups on YouTube and check out Brent's hair, because it is fabulous.
Thank you. So I decided to sort of like do it by the seat of my pants, and like, because I've listened to Rob's podcast with Nicole. I've listened to Rob's podcast with Nicole and Corinne. I've listened to everything. I watched the CBS bios. I read everything. So the person who I'm going to take, because I am totally feeling what Corinne and Nicole are feeling on this one, is Kyle. Give me Kyle, and I want more.
Kylo Jason. Yes. All right. Yes. There we go. Brent is going to finish, or maybe Kylo Jason is going to finish what Russell Hand started. And if Brent thinks he's going to win the season. Interesting. So what about Kyle? Because for me, you know, I heard Nicole and I heard Corinne say, oh yeah, I love Kyle. Oh my gosh. He's so great. He's so attractive. All this kind of stuff. What is it? Because I don't know if I see that. Maybe I'm missing something. What was it for you, Brent, that made Kyle really stand out?
Well, he owns the bad boy thing really well. Just saying, really well. But I mean, like, he's literally a bounty hunter for a living. I mean, his hobbies were like kicking in doors. I mean, who does that sort of thing? You know, he's lived in third world countries. I mean, this is somebody who actually, I feel like, can go on to Survivor and literally not care about the fact that he's not eating, that he's not sleeping, that he's miserable. And we've heard that the conditions are absolutely horrid. So I feel like he's in a good spot. This is the kind of season that this guy wants. Like, he doesn't want an easy, you know, sort of beach season where everyone's just having a great time. He wants a season where everybody is freaking miserable, where they're down on their luck, where they're not eating, not sleeping, and he can thrive in this environment. I really believe it.
Well, Russell Hance thrived in that environment, so we'll see. Maybe Kylo Jason will do the same. Taryn, what do you think about the Kyle pick? Did you think about him at all for number one overall?
Not for number one. I have concerns that, you know, how well is he going to fit in? You know, being a bounty hunter is kind of a unique occupation, and I think he's had a kind of unique life. And so I don't know if he's going to easily relate to these other people. That said, I think he's a very down to earth guy and he's very personable. So, probably won't be an issue. And he was high on my list of picks. I think that he's someone that's probably smart about the game. Something he said, that it has been said before. He said people will underestimate him when they see him. They'll think that he's dumb and he wants that. He accepts that. He welcomes that. And I think there's a very distinct, difference between that and some of the other players who are like, people are going to see me as something and I want to prove to them that I'm not, which kind of, you know, it says something about his self-awareness and his the amount of comfortable likeness that he has with himself that he's able to be like, I know who I am. I don't care how other people see me. I'm going to let them see me in the way that they think they see me. And then I'm going to take advantage of that instead of I have to prove myself constantly to all these people.
Yeah, that's really a good point, because you think about the other military guy on this season, and I don't think we can say the same about him. I think he wants people to think he's really smart, which is not a good idea. Side note, hashtag comfortableness, early candidate for the early front runner. Alex, now you went with Darnell at two. Brent goes with Kylo Jason at three. Do you think that Kyle and Darnell are going to team up? Or do you think that they're going to butt heads early on?
I feel like it shouldn't matter early on. I feel like that tribe is just going to be winning challenges. So I really, they're just so seemingly so much stronger than the other tribes. I find a hard time seeing like any of them, you know, not making the merge almost. I think if they go to tribal council, I think maybe either like Alicia or Scott would be in trouble, because Scott has money and Alicia seems kind of like the easy kind of person to butt heads with people. But you know, I'm not particularly high on Kyle either. I feel like, you know, first of all, the fact that Corinne and Nicole and Angie and now Brent all think this is a handsome guy, there's no wonder why guys like me are single, right? Like, there is not a human being I've ever seen that is more an antithesis of Alex Kidwell than Kyle Jason. Like, we are cut from like complete opposite cloths. I mean, you know, and people are saying like, yeah, it's good that he seems like someone who's going to keep it real. Well, keeping it real goes wrong on Survivor, people, like more often than not. And like, I think tact is more important than keeping it real, like knowing when not to say stuff. And here's my thing, man. Like, I want to like the guy. He seems like he's going to be great TV, but he said Russell Hance is the only guy to play the game correctly. And then I don't know if you've seen it. He's gotten in a Twitter war with Russell this week. The only guy, the only survivor he claims is like on point. He can't even get along with this guy.
So can you tell me
he's going to go out there? And, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, to be fair, Russell is not like agreeable, but you know, I feel like Kyle won't be either.
Well, hold on. Okay. Yeah. Taryn, Alex, you guys, did you guys see this fight this week? Because could you please explain for the audience what exactly the content of this was and how did this start?
Yeah, I don't, it was like seemingly innocent enough, right? I'm going to see if I can pull up the receipts here, but,
well, Kyle said in his interview that he can't handle stupid and he has to put it on blast. And that could be an issue if he runs into some people that he doesn't see as particularly smart, because it clearly was an issue when he ran into Russell Hance.
Right. Well, here's the thing though. I feel like his ability to smile as compared to Russell will really help him here. I think people really underestimate this. It's a social game. You want to get along with people. He seems like a really nice guy. He smiles a lot to the camera. He doesn't seem down and mean like Russell did. I mean, I know Russell went far and did well, but he ultimately couldn't win. I think that Kyle has that extra gear where he can get people to like him, which is what Russell was missing.
So, yeah. So basically, it stemmed from, I don't know what the initial conversation was because I can't see past the first post here, but it was also tweeted to @AmericanGritFox, @WWE, and @JohnCena. So whatever it involved, it may or may not have been a wrestling appearance. And @SargeJason tweets to Russell Hance in those three accounts, "Sorry, Russell, but this is more up my alley than yours." Russell responds, "Never underestimate me. That's when you lose. #AmericanGrit." To which Sarge says, "You would know you have lost three time, right?" Oh, snap.
Oh, man. Wow. That's crazy. So, yeah, Rob Sesternino in the chat was saying that, poor little Russell was minding his own business, and then Kyle Jason just came in. Or what is it? Sarge Jason or whatever? That is the worst Twitter handle I've ever seen. I'm sorry. Sarge Jason? Not a fan, honestly. That's just, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. And apparently, okay, yeah. So Rob is saying in the chat, there's a reality show that is hosted by John Cena, and Russell was tweeting that he should be on the next season.
Wow, how the mighty have fallen.
How the mighty have fallen. Wow.
You wouldn't want to see Russell Hance enter a wrestling ring? I would love to hear it. What would his entrance music be? Oh, it would be like some like scary bayou thing, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Russell in the WWE would be the greatest thing that has ever happened. Like, I don't watch wrestling, but I would watch for that. Like, oh my gosh, it would be so good. Okay.
I will say this kind of like character, they usually appear to be like pretty good in the interviews, but then we see them either on the island or in the house, and it's kind of the opposite. Like, I know a lot of people were kind of high on Devin and Austin, those Devin guys, bro, before they went into the house. And in Survivor, I feel like they're able to come off like really well in the interviews, and then we see them interacting with other people, and it's a whole different story. So I think he could go any which way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and in fairness to me and the others who thought Devin was going to be good on Big Brother, he was completely different in his pregame interview from what he was in the house. So I don't know. But I do hear you. I certainly think that there is a little bit of like, isn't there kind of like, I don't know about you guys, and it's different because because of his life experience and stuff like that, but didn't Zane Knight talk a big game before playing Survivor Philippines? I'm just saying.
Well, he had a big game.
Hey, he burned out spectacularly, man. What a 3 days.
Oh, man. He was great. He was great, Zane Knight. Okay, let's move on. I've got two picks in a row here. Brent, thank you for that, because I did want the fourth pick, because I didn't know. There's about like six or seven people that I really like, but I don't know which direction I really wanted to go in. The people that you guys picked actually were all pretty high on my board, despite the things that I brought up. So this is tough. The first one, though, it's pretty easy for me. I saw earlier on Twitter there was an interaction. I can't remember. I think it was Alex was saying that you met Julia Sokolowski and you were like, yeah, she's great and she's awesome. You saw her at the Big Brother Survivor meetup thing. Well, I have an insider who's in New York who went to that same event and met up with, and this person that I'm about to pick was there. The great Matt Liguori was there and told me how amazing this person is. So I'm going to go ahead with my first of two picks here and take Rob Sesternino's winner pick, Anna Kate Kite. I don't know how we're going to say it.
Yeah, we really need to find out what that is.
We do really need to find out, Anna. So please, if you could let us know. But I love this girl. I think she's awesome. Like Alex said, she's on the beauty tribe, so she can hide out. People aren't going to realize, hey, she's actually really smart. She's a poker player. You know, I love poker players. So I think that Anna is going to be great this season. I'm very excited for her. She's a Survivor fan. So and just overall, I think that, she's very agreeable. She can fit in with a lot of different types of people. She can, you know, hang out with like the pretty girls, but I think she could probably also relate to, you know, your Aubreys of the world as well. So that's what I like in my Survivor players, people that are very strong socially. So give me Anna first. Brent, tell me why I'm crazy.
I don't think you are crazy. I think she, I mean, after, you know, I would have poo-pooed this maybe a year ago, but after watching Vanessa work her magic in Big Brother, I really am high on poker players, especially women poker players. I don't think that, you know, necessarily people like Jean Robert or something, maybe gave the best, view of what a poker player is and does. Although he played well enough, I think he just got outplayed by a better player in Todd. There are, reasons to like Anna. I don't know. Again, and is it Anna or Anna? And is it Kite or Kate? We really need to, these are questions, JP. We need answers.
Anna, Anna, Kite, Kate. We'll just go with that. We'll call her by four names.
and I would just say too, I actually read she plays handball. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yes. Like, handball is, a lot of people play the handball. I feel like that's something Taryn does because Taryn is a very well-rounded person. Am I right?
He's calling you a snob.
I haven't played handball.
You haven't played handball. Okay.
I've played dodgeball. Is that the same thing?
Sure. That's the same thing. As a dodgeball player, how is handball going to help Anna in this game, Taryn?
It's not. I mean, none of these things are ever going to help. Like, even being a poker player is not going to help you much. I think knowing game theory is a lot, is more of what helped Vanessa than her poker player skills. I do like Anna. I think she is the opposite side to Liz, where I think she's probably set up to do better than Liz, but I liked Liz better, so I chose Liz. So I have nothing against the pick. I think she may be a little too aggressive for the position she's in. She's in a position where she doesn't need to be very aggressive, but right. Based on her interviews, she sounded like she wanted to be aggressive. So that may be an issue that she runs into.
Yeah, maybe almost like a little like Monica Padilla from like last season of Survivor, like, you know, when you don't really need to do too much, but you should just chill. And I could totally see that happening. Although part of me feels like Liz is going to end up doing that more. Alex, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously I was torn between Darnell and Anna. So I was, you know, certainly considering taking her at two. So I obviously can't knock you for taking her at what, four? But I think Taryn makes a really good point about, yeah, she's in a great position to just kind of subtly, you know, do like a long con kind of Kim game and really play very under the radar. I mean, you know, it's easy to forget, but it was like episode 3 or 4 that the women were just getting destroyed. And Kim says something at tribal council that like makes Jeff just so mad when she's like, I don't think it's time for my voice to be heard yet. But it was a great point because it wasn't time for her to stick her head up yet because she knew when was the time to get on the winner's arc. I worry that you might see Anna on a bit of like an Amy Cusack track where she just like dominates the pre-merge and then like runs into a merge group where her number's just up and everyone knows what she's capable of. And she just can't find people who want to work with her. I think that if anything derails her game, it's going to be that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see either way. I think she's going to bring a lot to the show and I just really like her and she's great. So let's go, Anna. Hopefully, I don't know, going with Rob's winner pick probably isn't the smartest thing I could do, but whatever. You never know. He has to win at some point, right? Okay, my second pick here, and this is a tough one. I really don't know which direction I want to go in, but you know what? I've done a few drafts, And Rob saying Denise. Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Years ago, Rob.
Sorry, boss. I forgot about that. Yeah. That was so long ago. I'm terribly sorry. Okay. So my second pick here is somebody who, and this is hard at this point. I feel like there's like anybody who could win. I love this guy because I relate to this guy so much. He got shredded by Corinne in the preseason show she did with Rob. He's very verbose and likes to talk, and he has a lot of haters and people don't like him, but I just think he's a misunderstood guy. I think he's great. I hope he does well. He probably will fall flat on his face similarly to me, but I just like the dude. Give me Neil Gottlieb. I'm going Neil Gottlieb at number 5 overall. And now the chat is going insane. Everybody's saying, OMG, what's going on? This is a reach, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I don't care. I love Neil. So, and I think he's got potential. Am I crazy? Am I crazy for thinking Neil has potential, Brent?
Yeah, you're freaking crazy. I mean, why the hell are you picking him? You could have picked him like 14th or 15th. I mean, like none of us would have touched him before then. Seriously, he might have been one of the two people that the people in the chat get to pick.
No, come on. He's great.
No, he's terrible. I feel like and he's also like really jumpy on Twitter. Like I feel like he could be like Peter from Survivor Marquesas because he kind of looks like him. And be the first one out. Seriously, he could be the first one out. Seriously, he's on the Brains Tribe. They're probably going to go to Tribal Council a little bit. It could be the first episode. And he's not a terribly agreeable person. I don't know. And he's an entrepreneur, and they're kind of used to having things their own way. I mean, was it David Sampson? Please tell me I can get that last name right. The first Brains versus Beauty versus Braun. I mean, who just, he's used to having things his way. He thinks he can dictate, and it totally blows up in his face. Like, I think he could be the first one out. In fact, he is my pick to be the first one out.
Wow. Okay, shots fired. Alex, Taryn, are you with Brent? Should I have waited? Am I an idiot? Well, we know that I'm an idiot, but...
I think you might have been able to wait a little bit. I mean, Neil is not... He's not at the bottom of my list, but he's about in the middle. So he probably would have come up for me and maybe like not my next pick, but the one after. I think Neil could do perfectly fine. I think he's just, again, I just see just on paper, these look like somewhat imbalanced tribes. I think this Brains Tribe is just going to be stuck in a position where they're going to Tribal Council a lot before the merge. I mean, Braun looks so strong. And their women especially just look so physically strong. And, I mean, the Beauty Tribe looks so much stronger, too. And then, Brains not only has the problem of, like, these are the Brains, so they're automatically going to be stereotyped as the weaker group. They've got Aubrey, who seems like maybe, between her and Neil, that's the argument for who's the least athletic person out there. They've got the oldest person out there. They've got Debbie, who's, like, the only kind of mother person. Like, it's just, like, the dynamics based on age, based on kind of athletic ability, just seem really rough for this Brains group.
But do we think, because I know, like, yes, we've seen it twice. I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, the White Collars and the Brains on Worlds Apart and Kagiyan, both of them got up to slow starts. But I don't know. I feel like this group is pretty, like, in challenges, I think that these guys might be okay for a few rounds. You think not, Taryn?
I mean, I'm not sure. I think... they've probably learned a little bit from the first Brains Braun Beauty. And I feel like they're not going to have super intensive physical challenges, and it usually comes down to the puzzle anyway. So I really feel like as long as they don't fail at puzzles, they'll have a shot. They might get to the puzzle a minute later, but that's not going to make that much of a difference usually. So I don't think they're as screwed as you think they are. As far as Neil goes, I don't really see a path for him to win the game. I might have said that about Tony too, but I'm not sure I see Neil ever having a leadership role with the other people in this cast. Something I did like about him was that he said he got like a little flabbier in order to seem less threatening, and that by the end of the season, hopefully, like, he'll lose it again and like look a little better. And because that's something that I've thought of as a strategy going into one of these games before, and I like it. I like the physical aspect of it, and it's something that people probably won't, you know, suspect. That's if it's true, though. You know, he might just be a little flabby. Right. So, but so that said, I'm not sure I see him winning the game, but I, you know, it's not the worst pick in the world, I don't think.
All right. Well, enough of me getting heckled in the chat for the awful pick apparently that I made. But I'm still Team Neil, I believe, and I just in my heart, I feel like I got a connection with this guy, and I feel like we'll both be bonding after this show over the fact that we both failed so hard on reality TV. Hopefully not, though. Hopefully not, because I do like Neil. I don't know why. Okay, Brent, you're up. You got the next pick, my friend, which I think I know where you're going with this one, just based on what the brief things we have talked about before this podcast, but I will let you have the floor.
All right. By the way, I want to say also that I have gained about 10 to 15 pounds for this podcast as well. And I'm hoping by the end of Big Brother Canada that I lose it. I do everything for Rob Cesternino. So, you know, okay.
Wow. Dedication. So,
good strategy.
I must tell you that I know people aren't living for this guy, but how can I not pick someone who blogged for rap? I'm going with Nick Mariano, ladies and gentlemen. I think he really is playing the game during his entire bio and application experience. Like, he's playing the game like 6 months ahead of time, okay? And if you haven't figured out by now, I'm basically picking people that I would like to sleep with, but that, you know, that may also be a part of it as well. But, you know, this is what happens when you go by the seat of your pants. So Nick says that he is a better listener than most people, and that he pretends to listen really well, which I think are great traits to have as a partner and in life. So I think he'll do great on Survivor. And I don't know why more people aren't on board. If I didn't pick Kyle, I was definitely going to pick Nick in my draft spot.
Taryn, do you think that this this persona that Nick is portraying in his bio and that sort of stuff, do you think he's going to carry some? Because I feel like he is definitely playing it up somewhat, at least. But do you think that some of this stuff he is going to carry with him in the game, or do you think he's completely BSing the whole thing?
I think he's playing it up, but something that kind of threw me for a loop was when he's playing this up, when he's saying I'm a manipulator, he then kind of backtracks and says, oh, I know that's terrible, but it's just, you know, it's the way it is. Like, he's actually is trying to make it seem like being a manipulator isn't something that he's super into. So like, being concerned for his image makes me wonder, is he not playing a role here? That said, I think there has to be some part of him that is playing a role there, because nobody is that unself-aware. Like, I mean,
debatable, Taryn. I think I know a few people.
He'd have to be Tyler Kakuno or Coach or Philip. He'd have to be one of those. Otherwise, I think if he is anything remotely like the way he's portraying himself to be, I think he's going to run into a lot of issues. I think anyone can see right through him. If he's totally playing it so well that he's even playing the like subtle game of pretending that he cares about what he says and all that stuff, then I think maybe he could do really well. I like that he's on the beauty tribe. That's probably his best quality at this point. He could be the LJ of the season and not have a Tony to disrupt his game. So I think he could do well. I think he's not a bad pick.
Alex, how do you think that Nick is going to handle Beast Mode Cowboy?
Well, to start out with, Brent called him Nick Mariano. And let's be straight, this is no Mariano. His name is Nick Majorano.
Sorry.
He is nothing like Boston Rob. Just want to establish that.
All right, we got that out of the way.
How do you say? Wait, say it one more time with me.
Majorano.
Majorano.
Majorano. Okay. It's like the Bizarro Mariano. Yeah,
yes.
It's
kind of weird. Okay.
But, yeah, Mariano, all right. It sucks.
Yeah, no, I think it's funny. I think Nick, like, you know, and I totally agree that there's a lot of, you know, there's a strong, strong possibility that he's just playing to the camera. He surely is. I think maybe Nick, you know, and obviously we're just speculating, that's what we're doing, but I think he could be one of those guys that, like, you know, if you like swap him for Russell on Foa Foa, and he's like with a bunch of like just blinking clueless, like, you know, people who don't know what they're doing, he could like run that tribe. I think he's on a group with three really smart girls that will not have issues, working together. And I think the problem there is if those three girls do work together, you've got Ty, who seems very straightforward. I mean, Ty clearly knows who he is and is not going to represent anything else. Caleb can't represent anything but what he is. He's incapable. He just is what he is. So the problem, I think, is like with those two guys next to him, how could Nick not come off as like the most wishy-washy or disingenuous? Because the other two, you can read like a book.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? I think he's in a really, really rough spot. But if he can overcome like the first few weeks, then he can definitely make serious waves.
I like that point. Yeah, for sure. It's beast mode cowboy, Ty Trang. And then here's this other guy over here. It's like, oh, what's up with this dude? Although we'll see what happens. He's not in the brains tribe. So I think that will definitely help him out a little bit. Alex, we'll stick with you. You've got the next pick. You've got the third pick in the second round. Which direction do you want to go in?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I'm going to take somebody that, you know, I feel pretty confident this person would be here when it comes back to me off of Taryn, but I'm not going to take the chance because I really like their chances to win. I'm going to take Peter, man.
Wow, you're going to go with Obama. Thanks, Obama. All right. Why Peter?
So I feel like, you know, obviously he's not really like on anyone's like, you know, towards the top of anyone's list. But I think, you know, I was talking earlier about like I feel like this brains tribe could very easily be going to tribal council regularly, and they can't afford to get rid of Peter if they're losing challenges. He represents like one of the only obvious examples of pure muscle that they have out there. You know, you can't like if you're losing a challenge because you're way far behind on the swimming, you can't vote out Peter over Aubrey. You just can't. You know what I mean? Like I just unless Aubrey turns out to be like an Olympic swimmer, but I don't see any indication. You know what I mean? So I feel like Peter is probably the safest on the brains tribe just out of pure necessity. And then I think, you know, if the brains tribe are low in numbers, we see it time and time again, the tribe low in numbers that arrives at the merge sometimes can control the late game. And so if he can find a way to kind of, you know, gets there with like a loyal three from the brains group and then is able to kind of like, you know, get with the beauty group and take out the brawn and then subvert. I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity for him as like an under the radar, capable leader type going into the merge.
Interesting. Brent, I want to hear your take on this. Yeah, go ahead.
What? No, it's okay. I have strong feelings about this. I must tell you, doctors are the worst people. I'm literally married to one. Seriously. Like, and he's an ER doctor, which is the absolute worst. Like, they really are so abrasive. They think they know everything. They don't take direction well. They don't like to get along with other people. And they just make snap judgments about people, and it's very hard to change their opinion. Seriously. Like, I know ER doctors. They're not good people. Seriously. Alex, what are you doing here?
Doesn't all that apply to bounty hunters, Brent? Everything you
No. I don't have any experience with bounty hunters. Unfortunately, I don't have any experience with this bounty hunter. But I have experience with doctors, and I'm telling you that there's not a lot to like. Especially the fact that he invited this whole thing about Obama. Why did you go on about it for a minute in your video if you didn't want people to talk about it? Like, seriously. And then the fact that he's what was the thing that annoyed me the most? Oh gosh, what was
he,
it?
He likes working out.
Oh no! The fact that he name checked Pete from the pillow.
Pete bro. What's wrong with Pete bro?
And then in his pet peeves, he says that he hates bros. It's literally right there. Like,
it's
so,
in Pete bro's
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
He's a disaster. Literally, he could be the Garrett Adelstein of the season. Maybe even the David Samson. Although I've already said that that's probably going to be Neil. So Alex, you think they can't vote this guy out? Like, seriously, they would do it in a heartbeat.
I think they can. But you also made the point about like, wouldn't you want the big strapping guy around, or wouldn't Kyle do well in a season where everyone's getting medevaced? Wouldn't you want to latch on to the ER doctor if everyone's dropping like flies?
Well, yeah, but that would be a problem if they didn't have actual doctors on site to help you. I mean, come on. Like, seriously, people have said this on the podcast before. Like, I'd really like to have a nurse on my tribe, or I'd really like to have a doctor on my tribe. What are you people, stupid? Seriously, they're right there. Oh, anyway, Taryn, go.
We had that whole incident with Shane and Suri. That was certainly useful for Shane, right?
Yeah, you can examine your rashes.
Yep.
Sure.
And also, I will say, I know plenty of ER doctors too, like John Carter, and Mark Green. I think they are great people from the show ER. And
dude, we're right over my head. Don't watch ER. And Clooney,
don't be talking bad about Mark Green.
Right?
But yeah, I wrote one note under Peter, and that note was obsessed with Obama. I didn't like, that was all he talked about. I didn't understand. He was like, I don't like it, but it was all he talked about.
He loves it.
Wait, hold
do
on.
Not let him fool you. He loves it.
Do we think that he's a Republican? Is that why he hates the Obama comparison so much? Because I feel like I would like that if someone said, hey, you look like Barack Obama.
I feel like it's one of those things where you hate it because you get it every time you leave the house. You know what I mean? Like that would get
describing it to somebody. It's the first time they're hearing of it. So when you are this crazy passionate about it, you're going to look like a lunatic.
But he knows we're all thinking it because we were all thinking
I was not thinking it. Alex, I was not. I was not.
Oh, man, I thought it right away. And so did Rob and Nicole. So I just assumed, I guess. But yeah, no, I think it's a great, you know, I think it's like kind of the same thing as like they had that show where it's like, this is a real life man and his name is Ronald McDonald. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things that would drive you nuts during the course of your life. Like, I'm not that Ronald McDonald. Damn it. You know what I mean? Like, I could see it.
I would
yes,
love
Alex, that's Ronald McDonald. Like, this is the president of the United States, the leader of the free freaking world. And he is mad that people are comparing him to him. Like, it's ridiculous.
I wonder if people just go, thanks, Obama, to him all the time.
Oh, man. I hope they do. I really do.
I really want to see a scene in the first episode when he's getting to know the tribe and multiple people are saying, you know, you look just like Obama. And then he looks to the camera like,
or a thanks Obama at some point during the season would be amazing. Great
after
soundbite.
The person that gets blindsided by Peter, like, thanks Obama.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd
love
that.
And then he could have like a Zach Morris timeout where he'd be like, what did I tell you? And look at the camera.
See,
I think there's death.
I told you.
Where when he's getting to know his tribe mates, they call him Obama. And he goes on this whole diatribe explaining why he's not Obama and why it's not a good thing and it'll ruin his doctoring. And so nobody should do it because it will interrupt his flow and challenges. And they're going to be like, all right, come on, dude, let's just get you out of here.
Right.
It's but you know what? The one thing that is working for Peter is that he's not on a tribe with Jeff Kent. So, you know, Jeff Kent is not going to hold any, you know, ill resentment towards him because of the Obama comparison. So I don't know. Should be interesting.
I think there's a chance that he will come off well to his peers. You know, interviews, it's hard to tell how they're going to interact with other people. He comes off a little cocky in these interviews, but he could interact with these people and they could really like him. And if that happens, I think he can do well. So I don't think it's the worst pick in the world. He talked about Obama so much. I had to make fun of him for it.
Yeah. Yeah. One final thought for me, I feel like his upside is Mick from Samoa. Like that's kind of what I was thinking. So final three, but I don't know if he's going to win. Taryn.
You don't think he has Mike Holloway upside?
No, I do not, unfortunately.
Anybody has Mike Holloway upside?
No, nobody does. Taryn, I'll let you go with the final pick of the second round, and you've got two in a row here.
All right. So I think I'm going to go with Jennifer.
Ooh, Jennifer. Why Jennifer? This was not somebody that I really had on my radar at this point.
Well, mostly because she seems kind of boring, and I think that's good. as she's on the Braun tribe, which is also good. I think that she speaks pretty well. She's gone through a lot in her life, so she can probably relate to a lot of people. The thing I'm concerned about is she too talkative. She has a lot of sayings that she talks about. Like she's always flexible and some other weird ones. So I'm afraid that she might be one of those people that's like constantly talking about how they improved their life and sayings that they learned and all that stuff. And that would be a bad thing. But if she's not that person, I think she's going to blend in well. I think that she can get involved in a good alliance and she's probably likable enough that she can hopefully, you know, win the game.
All right. Interesting. The boring thing really did come to mind for me. Because honestly, there's not much I know about this woman. Alex, anything that comes to mind for you with Jennifer?
Yeah, you know, I think Bedazzle in the chat room mentioned that she forgot Jennifer was on the show. And it's like, yeah, like if she makes the merge, let's hope some other people do that too for her sake. You know what I mean? That's awesome. I think you kind of want to be someone who's easy to forget on Survivor, at least, you know, to a point. I think she's, yeah, she, like Taryn said, she's positioned very well. I mean, we saw Trish go super deep in the game, and Trish was very, very, you know, she had a lot of, you know, things about her personality that rubbed people the wrong way. I mean, Lindsay self-removed herself rather than getting a fight with her. So, yeah, I think, you know, Jennifer's upside could be like Trish with more tact and kind of more people skills. And I think that's a really promising outlook.
Do you agree with the Trish comparison there, Brent?
I don't know if I agree with the Trish comparison, although it's very possible because Jennifer is a recovering drug addict like myself, and Trish basically looks like one. So there you go. You know, so here's the thing. I love this chick. I really do. You know, she has overcome so many things in her life, and she seems sort of boring. And that can be a bit of a problem if they lose a challenge and maybe they're looking for someone sort of non-offensive to vote off. But I don't know if she's really going to go the distance. I really feel like there doesn't seem to be a lot there game wise. I don't know how big of a fan she is. Does anybody know if she's a fan of the show or if she's just winging it?
Cause she knows Jonas from One World, right? But then she said he was on season 22 and he's actually on season 24.
Right.
So,
oh, yes, that's
right. So I think she's seen the show and probably doesn't really know too much about it though.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm with her on her pet peeves of slow drivers. That's a real pet peeve. That's not homophobia, racism. That is not a pet peeve. Slow drivers, that is a pet peeve. Thank you.
Actually, my favorite pet peeve was slow walkers, because that's my least favorite thing in the world.
I don't know how you
actually managed. Slow drivers is also pretty bad, but I don't drive anymore, so that's why.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I know you guys, those are your big pet peeves of yours. I don't know how you managed to get along with me so great, because I am admittedly a very slow walker and a very slow driver. So maybe when we meet at Survivor Know-It-Alls in New York in April, we might have to throw down.
Yeah. So then we can hate each other.
Then we can hate each other afterwards.
But until then, we can podcast.
Yes, we can podcast and pretend like we're the best of friends ever. Taryn, I'll give you the floor again. You have the first pick of the third round now that Jennifer's off the board.
Yeah, and something that I'm kind of taking into account, and this probably isn't something I should be taking into account, but because I haven't really followed it. But as far as I know, Jeff hasn't really said anything about this season yet. Like, it's like, oh, this is going to be a great one. And he usually says that if it's like, you know, if it's an exciting player who's an alpha male who happens to win. So I'm expecting somebody boring to win, and that's kind of why I picked Jennifer. And so with the next one, I think I'm going to go with Michelle.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. I can see it.
Like that pick.
Yeah. It's another one where I feel like I think she has potential. She's a big fan of the show. You know, I think she's boring enough that she's probably going to do well, although she might not be, because she talked about having Jersey sass. So that would be a downside if she does end up, you know, going out with that. I think that, you know, I'm not sure I see, with so many medical evacuations, I'm not sure I'm seeing like a really strong strategic player taking this game down. I'm seeing more of an under the radar kind of subtle social game player taking this down. So that's kind of why I'm going with Michelle. I think she has the potential to blend in well and to get to the end and kind of take out a win. The Jersey sass is kind of the thing I'm scared about, but yeah. So Michelle.
I enjoy Michelle. I really did like her a lot. I also, as you can see behind me, am a fan of the Harry Potter books as well. So I think, yeah, I mean, in terms of, you know, you're going with this kind of boring strategy of taking boring people, Taryn, but I think that it's a good point. I mean, if with all these medevacs, that's kind of like the big thing, the big wild card on this season, and that can kind of turn things on its head. And make things a little bit different. Maybe sort of like Survivor Nicaragua, in a sense, in which we saw Fabio won after those quits. Brent, what do you think about the pick of Michelle? What are your initial thoughts on her?
Well, you know, everybody knows my strategy of picking people here, but I think you figured out Terrence. You figured out Terrence's strategy. He's basically just picking people as boring as himself. That's what's going on. Come on, you know. Thank you, right? Yes, thank you, thank you. No, he's Terrence, sweet. I love him. Anyway, so I don't know if there's not a lot to say about this girl. I mean, she's I mean, like, I barely remembered who she was, and then I was like, oh yeah, she's the girl who mentioned Harry Potter as her hero and said plus magic, which I sort of liked the way she said that in her bio. But again, I'm not into picking. Here's the thing: when I pick people and when I talk about people, I swing for the fences. Like, I go, like, I'm okay being disappointed, but I want to pick them, at least live in the dream world where this person actually wins Survivor.
That's why I picked Taryn first.
Right, Taryn is just the competitive little, you know, whatever, and he's trying to pick people that he knows have a good shot to get to the end, and maybe he can squeak into the driver's seat. And he's also cheating by using Jeff as a reference. The fact that Jeff has said absolutely nothing about this season.
You guys have talked about Twitter this whole time, and I haven't even paid attention to any of the players on Twitter.
All right, fair. Okay, well, I don't know. This, whatever. What was her name again? Michelle? Yeah,
yep,
okay.
Michelle.
It's very hard. I'm sorry. I'm definitely a guy fillet kind of thing. I always look at the guys first, and then I look at the women, obvious reasons why. But I barely know who Michelle is. So, Alex, go.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, if that's cheating, then certainly the fact that I've met all three women on Beauty is certainly cheating, right?
Well, only if you were.
I mean, I didn't ask for results, but I have talked to these people. So, you know.
How much did you talk to these? Just curious, like, did you have, like, in-depth conversations with any of them, or just were you like...
Julia, I did. I talked to Julia for a while, and, yeah, I mean, I'll go into it more once somebody picks her, I guess. But, yeah, Michelle, I didn't really talk to much. You know, she seems like a really nice person, though. I mean, everyone who talked to her seemed like... She seems to just, like, really just have a good energy about her. You know what I mean? Everyone I talked to said, like, oh, Michelle seems so fun. You know what I mean? And I think fun is always good on the island, so... Yeah, I think it's a great pick, and I think any of the women on Beauty are solid picks, just because I think all three seem like fans and like relatively low drama individuals, which is usually rare for reality TV casting, especially for females. So I think it's really promising. I'm excited to see what they do here.
Yeah, rare to see a group of three girls like that, even on a season, but on the same tribe. So that dynamic should be fun to watch. Alex, you've got the second pick in the third round. Where are you going to go with it? Are you going to go with your girl Julia, or are you going to go elsewhere?
Yeah, so it's a good thing I transitioned, right? I am going to take Julia Sokolowski.
Oh, okay. So there we go.
From Boston. Yeah. Julia is the one I really spent time talking to. And she's awesome. Like, I obviously everyone has expectations about an 18 or 19 year old sorority girl playing Survivor. That, you know, Natalie Tenorelli is going to be the expectation. This girl is not Natalie Tenorelli. I knew that immediately. Like, I mean, just, you know, obviously it's a little advantageous that I got the chance to talk to her. But, I mean, she seems really sharp. She's been watching the show since she was 5. And I'm like 99%. I mean, obviously she's not saying anything because she knows the rules. She's smart. But I mentioned something about like, oh, yeah, you got to play with Caleb, right? And she's like, and I was like, oh, did you know him from Big Brother? And she was like,
oh, all right. So some
I feel like
info.
There's no less than one person on that island who spots this guy and recognizes him immediately, knows what he's all about. And I can't wait to see that. And I just really think Julia is somebody that everyone is going to underestimate. But she's really sharp and a really good talker. I mean, she's really attractive inside and out. I think she's somebody that, like, if you get down towards the end, especially if it's a season where some people went out to medevacs or whatever, if they have issues with, you know, how the game played out, she's somebody that I feel like a lot of, like, very few people would feel bitter about winning. I think it could be very interesting, and I'm excited to see if we could get a very young winner. I think it's totally possible this year.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time we had a winner? Well, we've never had a winner that is 19. Youngest winner ever, Todd Herzog still, or is it Fabio now? Do we know?
Think it's Fabio.
Fabio. Yeah. Okay, so still Fabio. Jenna Marasco was also very young when she won. There's a lot of other, but it's, I don't, yeah, I like to hear that. I think that's exciting. I hope that she does well. But at the same time, Brent, I mean, if you're out there, would you really want to reward a 19-year-old the $1 million at the end?
I mean, you need look no further than Survivor of the Amazon. I mean, I can't remember exactly how old Maraska was when she did
21.
That show. 21. Yeah. Okay. But I mean, she was basically a child, let's be honest. So, I mean, you know, if you hate everybody else and the, you know, who knows if it's a final two, final three, we don't know. There's a lot of medevacs. Could be a final two. You know, she's up against somebody completely horrid in the final two. I can see them giving her the money. I don't think this is a horrible pick. I wouldn't have picked her because, whatever. But she does. The fact that she cited Nat 10 really, like, sent a chill through my body. Like, I'm like, please don't go to the end and be boring. I hope you're not boring. I don't know. What else? What else is there to say about her? I mean, she's still growing up. It's going to be fun to watch her grow up on the island, so to speak. You know, I really look forward to it.
Well, the fact that she brought up Natalie Tenorelli shows she's got some self-awareness, which I think is key when you're playing one of these games, is knowing who you are. And even the fact that she just knows who Nat 10 is, who she is. I mean, I don't think many of the people have watched enough Survivor to know who Natalie Tenorelli is on this season. So that's definitely something that's a plus for her. Taryn, were you thinking, because I mean, you just went with back-to-back boring picks. Would you, did you think, why not take Julia with either of those selections?
She was definitely one up there. I think her age is really going to be a hindrance. I think that's the biggest thing for me. I think if she gets into an alliance with these other female beauties, I think they're going to have a better shot at the end. So she might need to pull off some moves to make sure she's sitting there with the right people, and that makes her road a little harder. So that's kind of what, she seems like she's smart. I'm not sure. I think her age is going to be such a big handicap that I'm not sure I see her winning.
Okay. Well, regardless, she seems like she's really cool. Mike Holloway was endorsing her on Twitter. So I'm excited for her. She seems like she's fun. And we'll see what happens here. Brent is shaking his head and disagrees with me, as per usual. Brent, you've got the floor, my friend. Third pick in the third round. Who you got?
I have to tell you that I am living for this bitch. Debbie, give me Debbie. I love her. And it
Debbie.
Is all about the bathing suit. Like, you can come out there at your age and wear a bathing suit looking that good. Seriously, like, mama, come home. She looks amazing. And I love the fact that this is exactly the kind of person who could win, who Jeff would just hate. You know, he wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't pimp the show at all. He would just be like, yeah, she won. Congratulations. Here's the money. See you later. Like, seriously, I think that she could be the winner of this season. I am sort of influenced a little bit by the fact that the First Lady of Podcasting also picked her as her winner pick. She's not my winner pick, but I do think, and I would love to see it happen. Like, can you imagine if Nicole picks it again? Like, that would be so great. And she's got military training. I mean, she can do this. I really think that Debbie could be the winner of your season.
Brent officially now has the best looking team, I think, in the history of any of these drafts that I've ever done. So kudos to you for doing that. And yeah, if Nicole gets it right again, oh man. Taryn, where were you? Why not go? Because yeah, Brent brings up some good points. Debbie does seem like she's got a lot of really good qualities. Do you think that she's just not going to be able to, do you think she's maybe too quirky to fit in with the brains or other people? What exactly was it that kept you from taking her earlier?
She definitely seems quite quirky. And I have a hard time seeing other people on the cast that she's going to really fall in with and be tight with. Maybe Neil and the other one, Aubrey.
It's such a testimonial. Maybe Neil. I don't know.
Maybe.
I think Neil and Aubrey, that like that's the closest she's gonna get to like other kind of quirky people. But then who are they gonna branch out with? You know, like I'm not sure I see her path to the end unless she's just kind of somebody who's dragged. And then how does she win? Maybe some medevacs. I don't see her as somebody who's winning the game. She's been compared to like somebody like Coach. And I think it takes Coach three times in order to figure out how he's allowed to get to the end. And even then he has a lot of trouble. So I don't see her as anybody that's probably going to win. No.
The Coach comparison is an interesting one. Alex, does it raise any red flags for you that she referred to herself as very Coach-like?
It raises every red flag that's ever been created for me. Like, even the ones currently being stitched. Go ahead and put them in the air, because that is, yeah. That's pretty serious. Yeah, no, that's, like, the last person I would compare myself to if I was hoping to, like, sell people on my chances. But maybe that's not what she's doing. She's just, you know, keeping it real, and that's fine. I don't think – she's not last on my list. Like, I don't think she has the lowest winner's equity or whatever you want to say of the people here, because I think – you know, one thing that's, you know, and I touched on it earlier, she's the only person of the right age demographic to kind of play that, you know, Dawn Meehan type of like motherly role. There's no one else out there that fits that right age where someone could see her as like a surrogate mom and kind of like, you know, a lot of times that goes a long way. Just somebody who's in that right kind of age who like comes off as a motherly figure, like ends up being someone who gets disclosed a lot of information to, because they just, you know, it's kind of natural for people to want to open up to an elderly maternal figure. You know what I mean? So if Debbie cannot be so quirky that people don't see her as someone they are capable of confiding in, then I think she could be fine. I think her biggest problem is going to be surviving like the first two episodes. I think if she makes it through like the first 6 days, then yeah, like pencil her in for the end game. But, you know, the biggest obstacle she's going to have to face is like overcoming these early brains votes, especially if they're struggling in challenges, because she's just the oldest woman. And and the only person older than her is Joe. And unfortunately, Joe looks like he's, you know, cut from stone. So,
okay.
I do want to say something really quickly though. Yeah. You know, I do agree that her danger area is the first 3 to 6 days, but this says she has wonderful winner upside potential, because if she does get past that, I don't see anyone voting her out. Okay. And just like in the previous Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn and in White Collar, Blue Collar, No Collar, the screw up tribe ends up being the kingmakers. So, I mean, I know it didn't totally go through on the first Brains, BBB one, but, you know, it should have if Cass didn't lose her mind or something. So I think that if she's still there, she has a great chance. And someone brought up Carolyn in the chat, the fact that Carolyn ended up being a kingmaker, but only got one vote at the end. You know what? Any other season, Carolyn wins. She was a phenomenal player. She had great relationships with people. She was just, I mean, she was amazing. I loved Carolyn, but she was up against Mike, who basically won his way to the end, and the jury felt like they had to give him the money. So I don't think that Carolyn's a great example to use.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, babe. Oh, man. I love Rodney's impression of her so much. It's so great. Mama see, mama do. And side note, it's such a tragedy that that Carolyn did not get on Survivor Cambodia.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
I wasn't here when that vote was going down, but I don't know what the hell happened. And that,
how did that happen? I still don't know how that happened.
I really don't. Anyway, let's go to my pick. Last pick of the third round. I've got back-to-back again. Hopefully, I do not get crucified as much as I did for the last pick that I made. And this guy, I wanted to take this guy in where I took Neil. So I'm glad that I would have had these two probably either way. I really, really like him very much, partially because when I followed him on Twitter, he was so nice and he immediately messaged me back and said, "Hey, Jordan, thanks for following me." And I said, "Best of luck, Joe. I think you're going to kill it on this season. Give me Joseph Del Campo." I'm taking Joe here with the last pick in the third round. I know he's a little older, but he seems to be very smart, very with it. I mean, this is a guy I work with the FBI. I mean, he is, as Alex said, he's got a body, you know, chiseled out of stone. I feel like, you know, one of my personal favorite Big Brother players ever was Jack Owens, who kind of had like a similar, you know, he kind of had the FBI thing going on for him as well. Also was older at the time, but very bright and very with it. So I like me some Joe. The medevac kind of scares me a little bit. But other than that, I think he's somebody that people will respect and will be willing to vote for at the end of the game. Taryn, what do you think about Joe? Did the medevac scare you about him as well?
A little bit. I think if this were a draft with different rules, I would have picked Joe ahead of some of the other people I've picked. But it's a must win. And even if he makes it far, I cannot see a world where anybody lets him get to the end, because he's winning in the end, right? Unless he's a completely different person on the island, he is the kind of person, he's a Tom Westman. He's going to get to the end and he's going to win. And I don't think there is any Ians on this cast. I don't think people are going to drop down from their poll to let him get to the finals. I think they're going to vote him out before he gets there. And I don't think he's going to be able to have, I think he's a very fit guy, but I'm not sure he's going to be able to go on the kind of immunity run he needs to make it to the end. So that's where I see him running into issues. I'm not sure if I see him winning the game, even though I think he seems like a really great guy and it seems like he's going to do reasonably well on the season.
Brent, your team is full of just really hot people. Did you consider taking Joe with your next pick if he was still there?
Well, certainly. I thought, he would be a great pick, great addition to my team, in fact. He actually, for reference, he's only 10 years older than my partner, and I think just looks just as good. So, I mean, he's got a great body. He's got a great smile. I still think it's possible for him to, like, be the first one out. I know that sounds crazy, but I do think that there is a way where he could be a little overbearing. They're going to look for him to build the shelter. That's always a trap because people get annoyed because then you're bossing them around. And it's very hard to build a shelter and not boss people around. So if the Brains Tribe goes to Tribal Council, all of the guys are just up for eviction or, out, whatever. Yeah.
They're on the chopping
block. Big brother.
Yes. Get the yes. Big brother on the brain. Alex, have you followed Joe yet on Twitter? Have you got this legendary DM that I'm referring to?
Oh, absolutely. Alex, thanks for the follow, Joe. Yeah, no, I talked about this in the patron group. Joe uses Twitter, like, if my grandfather was still around, this is how my grandfather would be feeling out Twitter. Like, before he passed, we got him on the Web TV. Do you know about Web TV? It's like a transition for older people where it's like, it's basically a keyboard and it hooks up to your TV and you can like do email and basic internet on your TV screen. It's like for people that have just no internet whatsoever, this is like, it's like training wheels for internet basically is what it is. It's like the web TV is the transition between just watching TV and learning how to keyboard and all that. It's adorable. I love it. And then I am one of those people who just like sleeps weird hours. And like I was up at like, I don't know, 5:30 in the morning for no reason. And I think I liked something he tweeted and he just immediately, Alex, good morning. And thanks for the like, Joe. And so I said, good morning to you, sir. I can't tell you how excited I am for the premiere of your season. To which he said, ditto.
Ditto.
I love this guy. Yeah, man.
He's great.
All right.
I'm really excited to watch him play. I don't know that his upside to win is particularly high, but I also agree that if he's there at the end, that he's hard to, if he's there at the end, he's, who doesn't vote for him? It's awesome. And then I think he is like a red herring for Medivac. Like he seems the obvious target to be Medivac,
right,
which makes me want to bet against it. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's going to be, he's weathered some storms in his day. You know what I mean? Joe's going to, his knee will be acting up. He'll get some shelter. He'll be fine.
All right. Well, and also, too, if you're not already following Joe on Twitter, there's a great picture of him and Rudy Bosch that you guys should definitely check out. It is legendary. It just is everything. I want to make that my profile picture on Twitter. It's so great.
Legendary.
It is legendary. Okay. First pick of the fourth round. This is my last pick here. So this is,
Don't screw it up.
I will screw it up, Brent. At this point, though, there's nobody really who is screaming winner to me. There is one guy, though, who I love to death. I think he is just somebody who you can't not love this guy. I don't think I if you don't like this guy, then I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with me and I don't get it. But my mom would probably kill me if I didn't take this guy here. It's clearly her favorite. I know she hasn't even seen the cast yet, but I know my mom's going to love this guy. It's Ty Trang. I'm going with him with my final pick. He's kind of like, he's got that Yao Man quality about him. I don't know what it is, but just like, he's just so inherently likable because he's a little bit older and he's got a little bit of the accent and he's just so fun. And I feel like, with the crew that he's with, he's on that beauty tribe. And I feel like those three girls are going to be very tight, those three. And if they know that Beast Mode Cowboy is a complete dumbass based on what he was like on Big Brother, and they're scared of Nick, who's the one guy they're going to want to go to jump on board with them? It's Ty Trang. So that's my logic with that one. Can he win? I don't know. Alex, can he win?
Yeah, I mean, if Natalie White can win, if you know, if Fabio can win, you know, anyone can win this game. It's all circumstantial, right? It's all about just being in the right position, kind of getting the right circumstances. I think Ty, you know, you talked about, he definitely has upside if he can get in with the girls. The downside would come if they like lose the first challenge and they really feel like they can't afford to make Ty the fourth because they won't have enough strength to make the merge with numbers. Right. So if they win the first challenge and feel like, all right, we've got enough strength to outlast these groups, I think Ty is the logical choice to bring in as your fourth if you're those girls. If it seems like you're hurting in the challenges, then maybe you have to think about just picking one of the other ones just for the sheer purpose of, you know, being strong enough, because I think that's going to be Ty's biggest obstacle is up against Nick and Caleb. He looks like a detriment to your tribe in challenges. That being said, I think there's like a lot to like, you know, people talk about how like, you know, he doesn't seem like a strategist. So how can he win? But, you know, it's not always, you don't always need to be a strategist. There's something to the idea of like, you know, and he said in his interview, he's like, you know, people like, and he even had to like clarify, I'm not trying to be conniving or anything. It's just who I am. I'm just naturally friendly. There's something to that idea, you know, like if you're not someone who ever tells lies, you don't need to remember what you said to people. You know what I mean? Like he is one of these people that seems like what you see is what you get on like the purest good spectrum. You know what I mean? And if people just look at him and feel like what they see is totally what there is to be seen, like this is who he is and it's all positive, why wouldn't you want to bring him in as an ally?
Taryn, what do you think Ty's role is going to be in this game? Do you think he's going to be a guy who is going to kind of just be sort of maybe like a Keith Nail and that people just pick him up as he goes? Or do you see him maybe maneuvering a little bit more than based on what we've seen so far?
It really depends. It depends on how devious he's willing to be, I think, and how he comes across. Because we saw, like Yao Man was a kind of similar demographic, and we saw with Yao Man what he did was he won a lot of challenges. He did really well in some challenges, and that garnered him a lot of respect. And then we also saw that he was willing to be very devious. And people like that too, because he's so friendly and likable. And I think Ty has that upside where he can be really devious and people will still love him for it. So I think he has the freedom to do it. He just has to be willing to do it. So I think if he's willing to be devious and he's able to put in his weight and challenges, I think he can do really well. I think he has the exact same problem as Joe though, where nobody's going to let him get to the finals. Same thing with Yao Man. You know, they're going to want him out before it gets to the finals at all costs because he's going to win it. He's so likable. So that's why I didn't choose him.
Brent, what do you think? Do you think there's a chance that Ty Trang gets to the final four and there's an immunity challenge, but there's also a car challenge before that? And he tells Beast Mode Cowboy, hey, Beast Mode Cowboy, win this immunity for me and I'll give you a car. But I feel like, because I feel like if that happens, Beast Mode would actually, he would give up his immunity for Ty Trang. He would go through with it. He wouldn't pull a Dreams, would he?
But he just got a brand new fully loaded truck, right? From Derek's dad.
Let's just hypothetically say Derek's dad took the car back. Yeah, let's pretend like that didn't happen. Brent, right? He, you cannot. I mean, what's not to love about Ty?
First of all, I did not pick Ty in my draft, and I was not going to pick him if it got to me, because I feel like I'm looking at someone who doesn't even exist. Like, I feel like I'm looking at the freaking Tooth Fairy. Like, how in the world are you this happy all the time? Like, it's a facade that gay people are inherently happy. Like, I'm a gay person and I'm bitchy as hell. Like how this are you this happy? I've never met a person in my life like him who is this happy all the time and doesn't have a bad word to say about anybody. Like, how has the gay community not corrupted you by now? That's what I want to ask him, but I'll wait till after the show.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's why he's on the beauty tribe, bro. He's walking on sunshine. Yeah. It's that inner light, right? Isn't that the whole idea?
Oh, that's totally it. Yeah, for real. Like the inner light, like, whatever inner light I had has gone to him, and that's why he got on the show.
If only Jeremy Collins from San Juan del Sur was on the same tribe as Ty Trang. Why are you so happy? We'll be good. Okay, Brent, you're up, man. Last pick.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm picking Beast Mode Cowboy. Give me Beast Mode Cowboy. I want him right now. Yes, I'm picking him.
Wait, what? You took beast mode?
He didn't even wait until the end of the day. What's going on?
Oh my god, what a dumbass. Yes. He took beast mode.
Yes. Well, we're all allowed to be dumbasses.
Oh
but,
my
you know,
gosh.
I mean, he's like the hottest person on the board. So.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Brent, hold on. I'll let you speak. But I just want to remind you. This is a guy who, in the diary room of Big Brother 16, referred to his friends, Cody and Derek. He said, yeah, well, you know, I'm ready to go and make my plan because I'm HOH, but I got to go talk to my two apadres, Cody and Derek, before I do so. He thinks a padre is the same as compadre. And then he also said at one point in the season, when they did that superhero competition where they had to like get on the little zip line thing and like look at the pictures, and there was those comic book covers, he sees Amber's one where she gets voted out, and he's like, oh man, I walked out into the backyard and I saw Amber and I thought, oh man, I would order millions of prescriptions to Amber's magazine. Okay. So this is a guy who has said both of those things. Probably one
right,
of the dumbest people I've ever seen on social media in my life.
All right, listen.
Why would you take Caleb?
It would be such a disservice to this podcast and the people who are here if I did not pick him. Like, how could I not? How, like, seriously, so one of us had to pick Beast Mode Cowboy. Am I right, chat room? Thank you very much. Yeah, see, Taryn was going to pick him too. Yeah, I mean, seriously, I do think there is a small but serious path for him to win the game. And I will tell you why. Because
explain.
If anybody, yes, because if anybody knows anything about Beast, and it appears so, okay? They know that he is a loyal soldier. He will die for you. And he's not terribly strategic. So why in the world would you vote him out? Seriously. And then if he gets in the majority, I feel like he's learned enough under the master, Derek, to be able to execute a move or two, not an entire game plan, but a move or two in conjunction with some other people to get to the end. And say what you want about Beast Mode, he's an incredibly likable person when you get to know him. Everybody in that house really liked Caleb, and he would have won if he got to the end. Maybe not over Derek, but probably over everybody else. Like, they like him. He's a goofball. He sort of knows he's a goofball and plays into that. So I do think that there is a path, not a good one, but a path, for him to get to the end and win the money. I don't think it's happening, but I'm picking him. So what? Go to hell.
Alex, if Caleb Reynolds wins Big Brother, or sorry, not Big Brother, if he wins Survivor 32, if he wins Survivor 32, will he be the winner with the least self-awareness ever?
I mean, I guess he could fight Fabio for it.
I think Fabio has more self-awareness than Caleb. Caleb doesn't know. This guy is so dumb. He is. It's crazy. Alex,
you're going to get a mouthful on Twitter, Jordan.
Oh, yeah. I know I am. And I don't care. You know what? I don't. I really don't. Come at me, Beast Mode. Come at me. come at me, bro. Me and my, I'm so irrelevant. Beast Mode's not going to come after me. Come on.
Yeah, you know, I've been scrolling around trying to find a really great Twitter thread that I can't find. But
okay, well, here, keep working on that. I'll let Taryn go. Taryn.
Right, yeah, do that.
Okay, you love Big Brother 16 more than most people. Do you love Beast Mode Cowboy?
Let's have dinner first, you know, before I start professing my feelings of love. I like Beast Mode. I do. I like watching him. I think he's entertaining. I don't like first half of Big Brother Beast Mode. That was not entertaining. I liked second half of Beast Mode, where he's doing karate chops and freaking out about fake rats and stuff like that. You know, I think he was entertaining to watch. I think he's
rats. That was great. I forgot about that.
Right.
Going on patrol. I think that he's an insanely loyal person. He's a big goofball. He's kind of like, you know, he's not like a malicious person. He's a big goofball. He's like a big child, essentially. And I mean that in a good way, not in like the bad way for the most part. I think that he's somebody, like Brent said, nobody's going to vote him out unless he's the first one out or the second one out. Like, right off the bat on a 6-person tribe, if he's annoying, then I could see him going pretty quickly. But if he survives that, I think even when he gets to the merge portion where he might be a competition threat, it's like, but it's Caleb. Like, you're not gonna vote him out. There's always gonna be bigger threats. And people forget how close he came to winning Big Brother 16. It was pretty close. Without the rewind week, Frankie's in the game and he has a decent shot. He can probably beat Frankie in a jury vote. It might be close.
Well, he famously said, "Frankie, I would smoke your ass in the final two." So
I don't think he'd beat Cody, but I do think he could beat Frankie, and he certainly could have beaten Victoria. So I think he had a shot. He was one of the people that I was saying at the time, this is the guy that could spoil Derek's win, and how crazy would that be? I think he makes it far enough, he's always going to have a decent shot, because people are going to underestimate his chances. They're going to underestimate. I mean, this is a world we live in where Brandon Hance had a good chance at winning South Pacific. This isn't so out of left field, you know? The loyalty thing really gets in people and they really respect it out there. So if he sticks with that and he makes it far, I think he does have a chance. Do I think it's going to happen? No. And that's why I didn't pick him up until this point. I might have picked him if I had the chance, maybe not. But I see where Brent's coming from, and I think I'm on his side.
And by the way, I want to say really quickly that I think that Jeff, that if another crossover person wins his show, like, Jeff would be really freaking bitter about it. Like, seriously, if it happens twice, I think he'd be bitter. And the fact that he hasn't said squat about this season might indicate that Beast Mode Cowboy is sitting on $1 million. Just saying.
It would be pretty terrible to have Hayden go on and lose and then Caleb
win. Oh, my gosh. I couldn't imagine. Okay, Alex, did you find that Twitter thread?
I did. Yeah, it was Reddit.
Okay. Here we go.
Yeah. And, I'll leave my analysis at, you know, if Caleb wins Survivor, I'll do a podcast naked. I don't care. I'll take any bet.
I'll join you. We'll do it together, brother.
Whatever the bet is, I would take it.
We're podcasting naked if Beast Mode Cowboy wins this season.
All right. So, no, this is a thread about many of the just fabricated stories of Caleb's childhood that he told during the course of the Big Brother live feeds, which I needed a refresher. Some of these are fantastic. These are things that Caleb claimed were true stories about his childhood.
These are things that you'd see on Nathan for You.
So, like, his mother worked 7 days a week, but his maternal grandfather was a land baron. But at one point, he was, like, relegated to, like, performing on the street corner for money. That's a thing he said happened to him. His grandpappy made him eat raw squirrel guts as a kid to toughen him up. He was a professional bull rider in high school.
What?
He was a professional bull rider in high school. He was the star football player in high school and set a record with 5 interceptions in 1 game.
Isn't Caleb 5'2"? How can he play defensive
back?
He's
not a big guy, but apparently he was the only white guy on the high school basketball team as well. His father owns a construction company with 1,000 employees, and they build 30 houses every day. His dad makes $50,000 an hour and built the biggest house for 9 counties around.
Then why did Derek's dad have to buy him a car?
Great question. And my ultimate favorite, when he was 4, he was in the hospital with 2 broken ankles. The doctor said he would never walk again. While in the hospital, an African man came in and grabbed Caleb by the ankles and healed him. His parents missed the whole thing because they were at McDonald's. The doctor said it was a medical mystery. After this, his father, the preacher, would hold Caleb up during sermons about miracles.
They were at McDonald's.
Jordan.
So these are things that came out of his mouth with no hint of laughter.
How do you not give that guy the $1 million? Come on.
I would like to rescind my pick now if I could.
Oh, man. I had seen that like a week ago, and I thought it was like too perfect not to pull up and share, because I hadn't even heard some of that. Like, I was watching feeds during 16, but you can't watch 24/7. And this guy was telling fabricated versions of his life the time, man. I can't wait to watch him play.
For those that don't watch Big Brother or the feeds, that's actually not that rare to have somebody lie that amount in the house in such ridiculous ways. Like, it actually happens almost once a season. So.
Godfrey.
but Godfrey was telling the truth with his, which was crazy.
Yeah, but it didn't sound like it, though. It sounded like it.
It didn't sound like it. That's true. Yeah. That is true. Yeah. Okay, enough about Beast Mode. Wow, that was amazing. I thought that our lucky winner of the email contest was going to end up with Beast Mode, but I guess that person will get somebody else. Alex, you have the second to last pick of the draft. Who do you have?
Oh boy. All right. So I don't think this is someone, again, that many people have very high on their lists, but I actually, while I don't love this person's chances to win, I do like what they represent if they can make the end. And that is the big man himself, Scott Pollard.
Ooh, Scott Pollard. You like his chances if he gets to the end?
I think Scott Pollard, you know, it's easy to see him, especially if you saw his basketball career at all, you know, during that infamous run with the Celtics where he was like a bench warmer on their playoff team. There was a moment where he kind of grabs the camera after a dunk and says, "Hey, kids, do drugs." You know, I mean, he's a crazy guy. And I think the initial thought, if you've seen him play basketball, is this guy's going to be John Rocker out there. But I think there's a lot of, you know, the thing about John Rocker is he's not at all introspective, I don't think, or like self-aware. Or if he is, it kind of comes to him gradually. Scott Pollard is actually like one of these guys that's like, he's like, you know, it's a tough exterior, but it's kind of a facade because he's kind of like introspective and he leads kind of a quiet personal life since he quit basketball. I think I loved when I heard him say that he's just going to come out and tell people, look, I'm a basketball, like he's not going to even try to dance around it the way a Cliff Robinson would or a Jeff Kent. I think he's seen what happened to them and he's learned from it. And I think that's really promising. Do I think he's going to win? Definitely not. But I don't think many people left on the list at this point will win. And I think he's someone that, you know, obviously you're a fool to take him out early because he's going to be such an asset in physical challenges. I mean, we saw Cliff Robinson. I mean, sooner or later, the basketball challenge is going to come up. You would be dumb to vote out Scott Pollard before that point. You know what I mean? He's really bringing it to the table on that one. Yeah, just bam, 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 just rolling him out. But yeah, I mean, I think he's someone that if he gets there, you know, gets the merge and Braun has the numbers and he's a guy that's indispensable to that group, like you can certainly see the scenario where it's just like, yeah, we know we need to take out Scott, but when are we going to do it? And before you know it, like Scott's at the end and people are like, yeah, he was too good. He made it to the end as a basketball player. We almost have to reward it. I can see it.
Brent, you know, we've seen on, you know, we saw on Kagyan in Worlds Apart where the Braun, the blue collars, they really dominated the game. Ultimately, we had a Braun and a blue collar win one of those seasons. Do you think we'll see another domination from that tribe once again this season?
I mean, I'm going to say no, because I think that Jeff would just be jizzing himself if Scott Pollard actually won Survivor. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That was a bridge too far. Edit that out. I'm sorry. I'll repeat what I just said, and you can edit that out. I'm so sorry.
All right. Take two, go.
That was okay. My point is that I don't think that Jeff would be unexcited if Scott Pollard was the winner of this season. Like, seriously, right. I think that he would absolutely love it. Okay, so I think that it's probably less than 0% chance that Scott Pollard is the winner of Survivor. I would be fun to see. And if he could get to the end or even close to the end, I would love to see what he can do. I loved watching Jeff Kent play. I know he's a baseball player, not a basketball player, but nevertheless, he's a professional athlete. And I know that they didn't know what he did previously. And I know Scott's going to tell them what he did. So there is that. But, Jeff Kent had a good nose for Survivor. And I'm hoping that Scott does.
All right. We'll see. I don't know. Do you think he's seen, like, how much Survivor do you think that Scott Pollard has seen, Taryn?
I don't know. I mean,
probably not much, right?
I doubt he's a super fan by any means. He probably, you know, has heard of it and watched it occasionally. And, you know, I mean, I don't know.
I think it's probably safe to say he falls somewhere between Julia, who's watched since she was 5, and Jennifer, who's buddies with Jonas from season 22.
That's probably an acceptable range, yeah.
probably.
My problem with Scott is that he's like the guilty remnant. He's a living reminder. Every time you look at him, you're going to be reminded of how much of a threat this guy is. And like, even if you don't see him as a threat, you're going to see him visually, and you're going to think, why is this guy still here? We can't let this guy keep going. After the merge, he is always going to be a target. He's always going to be the first one. He's going to stick out from the crowd, literally, and he's going to be picked off. That's the problem.
Yeah, I I co-sign that. I really do. I think that's why he's still on the board this late into the draft. Taryn, last pick for you, my friend, and then we'll go to our lucky winner of the Jordan Parhar email draw.
All right. Well, this is kind of perfectly rounds out my team, I guess, as almost all the same. But I'll go with Alicia.
Oh, shocker. Perfect. Sticking with the theme, Alicia. I mean, tell me one thing about Alicia other than the fact that she has blonde hair and she's cute.
She's a mental giant.
All right. Mental giant. Okay. Is that what she said to describe herself?
I'm pretty sure she described herself as a mental giant. There's a lot that I'm concerned about. She was one of the like two or three people that mentioned that she wants to prove she's not a Barbie princess, which is never a good sign. No. She said she's most like Cass, which might be good for an entertainment value thing, but definitely not good for a winning value thing. And she also talked about how she might struggle to contain her temper. So lots of things I'm concerned about, but there are more things that I'm concerned about with the other two picks. And I think that this might just be her coming off not super well in an interview. When she's with the tribe, she might actually be able to fit in really well and blend in and maybe win. And if I just need one of these picks, just one of them to get to the end. And
it's actually not a terrible strategy. I like how you gamed this hard, just going for the, you know, one of these girls, hopefully. Yeah, you went all females. One of these women. Yeah, one of these women will get to the end and hopefully be the last woman standing after all these medevacs and win the game. So we'll see. Brent, do you know anything about Alicia either? Because, I was really drawing blanks when it came to her.
Well, this is the girl who said that one of her pet peeves is people who lie. I'm like, that's what you're going to be doing the entire time on Survivor. Like, why is this a pet peeve of yours? It annoys me, like Corinne, that she spells her name like alopecia with the E. Like, why? That looks terrible. And the first part of it looks like ale. Like, it doesn't look right to me. I don't have a lot of positive things to say about her. She says she's an adrenaline junkie, but I mean, I think they all kind of say that. She has a bucket list. I went on my Price is Right podcast about not saying the thing about the bucket list. So don't call it a bucket list. It annoys the living hell out of me. And I don't know. I'm not shocked that Taryn picked her because the way he's gaming this is like he's picking the least.
Well,
offensive
I mean, look at the
people.
Other options.
Fair.
Well, fair.
It's not like I did this on purpose.
But Aubrey is Cochran and Sophie's love child.
Yeah.
Right.
What a combination.
I was just going to say, someone in the chat room said that I bet Aubrey got picked last in gym class too. And I'm like, yeah, like why couldn't one of us have picked her? But then I had to go all beast mode. So whatever. Who cares?
poor Aubrey. I've been there, Aubrey. It's not fun. I would have taken Aubrey. That's just me personally. Alex, yeah. What thoughts on Alicia before we announce the winner of this?
Well, I will say I never minded getting picked last because it just kind of sets the bar low. And then when I'm like a little athletic, people are like, oh, we got a steal. You know what I mean? So I always kind of enjoyed it, but, yeah. No expectations. And like, I'm a little more athletic than I look. So it always works out. But anyways, that's besides the point. Alicia is way more athletic than I will ever be. But I loved Rob's point on his podcast where he's talking about like, does an adrenaline junkie just like, do they does it become like a higher and higher thing for like them to get their fix? Because like Rob said, like I could get a little bit of a rush, just like, yeah, going down a hill too fast. You know what I mean? And like, you do wonder about like, so does someone like Alicia need to just like keep seeking something to like, you know, break up the monotony? And there's a lot of monotony on the island in Survivor. So I do worry about if it's just too much boredom for her, if she might just kind of like go off. And if she goes off, I'm sure Sydney will be happy to match her. And I think that could make for one of them as an early target, whichever one doesn't kind of get the backing of the group.
Most definitely. Yeah. Shout out to Rob in the chat. He said Jordan got picked first on quote, who do you not want to be on the jury? That was so there we go.
Your name was on the tip of the tongues of all of Canada.
Weren't you also picked for like most likely to win the game at some point when they did those?
Yes, I was picked for that. And smartest and all this other stupid stuff. And I was very mad. It was not fun, but that's another conversation for another day. Okay. It's time to announce the winner of the email contest to see who is going to get to come on the podcast and announce the final two picks of our draft. Our teams are set. So Taryn's team is Liz, Jennifer, Michelle, and Alicia. All right. So there we go. That's
Team Fembot.
Team Fembot. Okay. Alex has Darnell. He has Peter, also known as Barack Obama. He has Julia, and he has – sorry, yeah, Julia, and he has Scott Pollard. Okay, so that's Alex.
Strong team. Strong
Brent
team.
Is Team Hot. So Brent has Kylo Jason. Brent has Nick. Brent has Debbie. And Brent has Beast Mode Cowboy. And I, my team, the last team here – well, not the last team. The second to last. The last of us, I took – I took Anna, I took Neil, much to the chagrin of everyone else. I took Joe, and I took Ty Trang. Okay, so final team is going to be announced here. The email contest was great. I had three people email in. The winner, and his reason for saying why he deserves to get a pick in this draft or get two picks in this draft is because my grandma said that I should get those two picks. So because of that, the winner of this thing is Tyler Kakuno. So Tyler Kakuno is going to get to come on here and make two picks. So Tyler, you're in the chat right now. Tyler, listen very closely, okay? I need you to do something. One of us needs to be kicked off because Blab only lets us have four at a time. So Tyler, I'm going to give you the right to vote one of us out. So who do you want off this panel? You want Taryn off. Taryn is gone.
Oh,
girl, bye. I was going to volunteer because I can take a bathroom break right now.
Bye, all right. Felicia.
Okay, well, Tyler has spoken. So Taryn Armstrong, unfortunately, is going to have to leave this podcast. Taryn, before you leave today, any final thoughts?
I feel so betrayed. I'm such a bitter juror right now. I'm never voting for Tyler. And it's a good thing he agrees with this line of thinking because I'm feeling it right.
That Kakuno blindside.
I'm sad I don't get to talk about the alter egos. That's what I'm most sad about.
But, okay. Well, we'll have you. We'll kick out. We'll bring you back on. And then we'll before we sign off, I'll kick Tyler out and you can come back. So, Taryn, I'll bid you adieu for now. We'll see you very shortly. So, Taryn is kicked out. Wow, so sad that we had to lose Taryn. He's blindsided off of this podcast. And in for Taryn is none other than the pride of Cloverdale, British Columbia, Tyler Kakuno, everybody's favorite from Survivor Cannot, the winner of Survivor Cannot. I don't know. Which season was that, Tyler?
Season three of Survivor Cannot.
Why do I know that?
So season three. So Tyler Kakuno, there we go. Yeah, sorry for this.
I'm such a fan.
Okay, so Tyler... congratulations on winning this draw. So you're gonna get two picks. I'll let you make your two picks here. There's no one else to choose from but these two people. But I'll let you announce the picks officially as if you're a member of this panel. So the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, I kind of like thought long and hard about these last two picks because I don't want to screw it up. But for some reason, my heart says to go to Cindy and Aubrey.
Okay, all so right. There we go. So you're taking Sydney with a C, not Cindy.
Yes.
With an S.
Not Cindy with an S. No, Cindy with a C.
Cindy
and Storm.
And Storm.
So I just take Storm and Sydney.
Storm and Sydney.
Aubrey.
Okay. Well, Tyler, walk me through. Walk me through these. Walk me through these people. Okay. What?
Not Rebecca.
Why are you going to win with your team of Aubrey and Sydney compared to the rest of our teams?
Yeah. Man, because Sydney's self-aware. Like, you know, everyone I've ever – like, you know, she has the alter ego of Storm, right?
Yeah, which self?
It's like, well, every person I've ever met in my life has an alter ego that's a Storm that's terrible to be around. So the fact that she admits that means she must be a tiny bit self-aware.
Right? Okay.
So, you know,
okay, not bad. Not bad. That. Not bad. Do you have an alter ego, Tyler?
Oh, I do, man.
What's his name?
I do.
Tyler. put down the crack pipe
here. Wow. Yeah. Tyler, clearly, Tyler, you know, normally, you know, I thought this would be a good decision because, you know, Tyler is always very energetic and likes to fight with people. Tyler's kind of tired. He had a long night last night.
What the hell? Like, get some energy.
Oh,
Let's go.
I got home at 11 o'clock today, guys.
In the club. Yeah, that's right. Hitting the club. Tyler could.
But no, I'm more like I don't think Sydney's that great of a pick, and I hate that I have Aubrey. She would have been my second last pick.
Why do you hate that you have? Why do you hate Aubrey? Come on, Aubrey's nice.
Leader of the elves. Like, who are you?
Leader of the elves.
The elves.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing to say. And I hate the idea that she convinced her professor to say, can I write a kid's book instead of a thesis page? Because that means she's difficult to be around. It means that she's a whiner. She's probably talking all the time, begging for something that's useless and dumb. So, you know, little things like that get her going. She's going to be like that in Survivor, annoying her tribe. Joe's not going to get along with her. The FBI agent's not going to get along with the leader of the elves. Like, those two just don't match. And, you know, Sydney, there's a lot of problems with Sydney, too. It's just, she'll probably beat me up if I say it. I don't like her, so.
She would beat you up. I've met you in person, Tyler. You're not the biggest douche. You're tall.
Yeah, I'm tall, but I'm not Sydney.
Like, no, you're not Sydney with the C. I thought you were going to make the case as to why you're going to win, because right now it seems like we're going to kick your ass, Tyler.
I'm ready to lose, like, guys.
You're ready to lose? This isn't the Tyler Kuzmino that I know and love.
I think Sydney could win. I do think there's – I think she's a really bad bio. Yeah, I think you'd be surprised.
Aubrey's better than Sydney. Come on.
No, Aubrey's terrible. She's like gone in the first few days.
Oh,
like,
he's just being contrarian again, for real.
No,
come on.
No.
Mm-hmm, yeah. No, seriously, I think you're getting a steal with Aubrey. I didn't pick her because she's sort of a little boring and a little bit, I don't know, maybe like a little bit almost too super fan for me because she references like Shambo and some other things in her bio. But, and I was picking people based on other features, but I think that, right, Jordan? Yeah, right, clearly. So I think that she could, I mean, she, listen, if she's the winner of this season, Jeff would be pissed. So same the fact Sydney, that he hasn't, it's another, but no, he'd love Cindy to win this season. He thought he would be doing cartwheels if Cindy actually gets to the end and wins this season. Can you imagine? Like Storm and Cindy in the final two together. And, work with me here, people. Yes.
Tyler, Rob Sesternino in the chat says, Neil pick greater than my pick of you for this contest. So
is wrong.
any parting thoughts before we kick you off and let Taryn come back on? And we'll have you tell the story about your weekend in the after par hardy, because I think
I really like your team, Jordan. I do.
Oh,
other than Neil.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other than Neil. But yeah, so good luck, guys.
All right. Thank you as well, Tyler.
So maybe I'll win.
Yeah, maybe you'll win. Quickly, though, winner pick. Who you got? Who's winning?
Julia.
Julia's winning. Okay. So then
I've got the winning team.
And Alex has the winning team.
Yeah, but I feel like overall, like, Jordan has more good people than you. Like, you have like the one really good pick, but I think
I thought you were on that together. Darnell train, though. No,
I know. I don't think Darnell's going to win. I just really like Darnell.
Hashtag King Darnell. All right.
I started that, man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll go with that. All right, Tyler. We'll see you later, man. Have a good one.
See you, bud.
Bye. All right. So there goes Tyler Kakuno. And we'll get Taryn back on here and we'll wrap things up for today. I was expecting Tyler to be more confident in his picks.
Expecting you to be a little lower energy today, Jordan, because I know you went out with Willow and friends last night.
I did. That's right. I did. No,
it sounds like it could be a Saturday morning TV show, Willow and Friends.
Willow and Friends. Yeah, that would be a good TV show. I would like that quite a bit. Taryn, any thoughts on Sydney or on Aubrey before we let wrap this thing up for today?
Well, can I just say, I watched Sydney's video, and at first I was like, oh, she seems like kind of like a reasonable, maybe likable person. She's talking a little too much, but okay. And then she starts talking about, I think she's the one that she starts talking about like astrology Is she the one that does that? I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It might have been. No, that was Aubrey, actually. Similar experience.
Real Rafe's choice there.
Yeah. Then she starts talking about these alter egos and like how being able to have this alter ego that does these crazy things absolves her of all the guilt, and she knows this because she's like into psychology. That's the most psychotic thing I think I've ever heard on an interview pre-season. Like, I'm genuinely scared of this person. I would not ever want to be on a beach with her.
Yeah, it sounds a little Tasha Fox to me. Like she's like, you know, she's able to compartmentalize the bad things that she does wrong and the good things, so she could get to the end. But in no universe is this person winning Survivor. Like, come on, that's like.
I was saying it in the chat. Like Judas had a better chance of winning the game, any game, than any of the Sydneys will.
Oh, Judas! Oh man,
poor. Go ahead.
You got it.
Okay. I was just going to say, I know they won't do this, but like, because it's always like two tribes, if they're going to do the challenge where there's like two people on the, you know, one person has to knock the other one off with the bag. But man, how awesome would it be if he's on like a three-way of that? And then Sydney would break these girls in half.
Oh, I would love to break the guys in half.
A storm's a coming.
She was made for that comp.
Man. Oh, yeah. Could you imagine Neil against Sydney in that? Sydney would kill him.
Yes. I would pay CBS to see that.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I love Neil, but he'd get destroyed.
With Aubrey, I was kind of on board with Aubrey at first because she seemed, you know, she's clearly very like a nerdy person, but she keeps insisting that she's also a people person. So like maybe I'll give her some credit for that. But then she started talking about astrology in like really super detailed descriptions. And we know what happened to the last person that talked about astrology on Survivor, right? I mean,
we do. But he got a podcast on the Block Network, so it was.
I'll say Aubrey, one of the more likely people to get a podcast after this season, not one of the more people that's likely to win the season.
Yeah, maybe our next draft.
Yeah. No, maybe Aubrey will take over on the Rahappy Hour after maybe after she's done on Survivor. Rob will fire me and hire Aubrey because she's so good.
But yeah, she also came off as one of these people. She just has this chip on her shoulder where she's so determined to prove that she's not a socially awkward person that it's like, I feel like she's going to be trying too hard and it's just not going
to
work.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, it worked for Cochran. You know what I mean? Like, you don't necessarily have to lose that label to win. I think
yeah, exactly.
That,
like, Cochran embraced it. Like, I am very socially awkward.
Yep.
That's what you got to do. You have to be comfortable with yourself. You know how other people see you and not think that that's an issue because it doesn't matter how they see you. You just have to work with what it is.
Totally. No, Richard Hatch has said it, right? I think one of the most important things in order to win this game is knowing who you are and being comfortable with who you are. And Richard Hatch, of all the Survivor winners, is he probably knows and, you know, is comfortable with who he is, you know, arguably, yeah, more than any of them. So definitely.
Heard that.
Quality. Yep.
heard that.
All right, guys. It was a great draft. Well done. Thank you for joining me today. I had a lot of fun. You guys in the chat, thank you for joining us. Special thank you to Tyler Cocuno, even though he wasn't 100% on his game today, but we'll give him a break. He was.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He picked me to leave.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
The worst pick than his two draft picks.
Yeah, it was worse. It was worse than my pick of Neil. It really was. Okay. Any final? We'll go around the horn. We'll get final thoughts from all of you. Alex, we'll start with you.
Man, I can't wait to watch this season. This just seems like it's going to be so fun. It could break so many different ways, but I'm really looking forward to it. My Survivor hype is like at a 10 right now. So bring it on. Let's do it.
Bring it on, Brent.
I am also equally psyched about this season. I know absolutely nothing. Like, literally anybody could be the first one off. I am completely unspoiled and I'm thrilled about it. And I have to tell you that this cast to me is a really good cast. Like, there's some fabulously awful and fabulous people, which I feel like all put together makes a wonderful season of Survivor. I'm sort of wondering why Jeff isn't pimping it more. But it's really hard to read the tea leaves with Jeff. So who knows?
Taryn?
Yeah, I'm excited. I hadn't really looked into the cast until I knew that I was going to have to do this podcast because I wasn't super high on the idea. I didn't like that they were advertising the fact that there were a lot of medevacs. That just seems to me like it could have a Big Brother Canada 3 effect, where it just affects the game so much that we barely even see a game being played.
Oh my God, stop with the Big Brother Canada 3. Hey, Lord, can we go here? We go,
what are you talking about?
I don't talk to Sarah at all. Go ahead.
But yeah, so I'm optimistic with this cast. I think it could be a fun season. I'm concerned that the medevacs are going to be like an unfortunate thing where, you know, that's maybe why Jeff doesn't like the season, because it just kind of flounders out.
Right.
But honestly, usually the seasons Jeff likes tend to be the ones that the audience doesn't
like.
Thank
you. Yes. Very true. So, very true.
Though it could go either way.
Could go either way. Unlike this podcast, it was very fun for me. I had a blast. I'm very grateful that you guys were willing to take some time out of your Valentine's Day to spend it with me. I just want to say I love you, Baze. All of and everyone here who watched this live, thank you. I love each and every one of you as well. It means a lot. Sending the hearts, I can't really do it, but there you go. We'll just say that was a heart. We'll just say it was a heart. Just so you guys know, just to give you guys an update on the Survivor schedule, I'm going to be focusing pretty heavily on Big Brother Canada while it's on, so I cannot guarantee you as of right now that I'll be doing Survivor coverage every single week. I hope that I can, but we'll just have to see what happens. So we will be talking Survivor again at some point. There are some guests that I do want to talk to, and I will be talking Survivor this upcoming Saturday. Don't know if it's live or not yet. Working on my guest. I think it's going to be really good, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm crossing my fingers. Don't forget to subscribe to the Rehappy Hour. Go to robiswebsite.com/Rehappy Hour. That's Happy Hour with an R at the front. Or go to Reality TV Rehap Ups on YouTube. You can watch the video of this if you're listening in the audio. You can see my impressions of Ty Trang that I was doing. And you can see Brent's hair and Alex's buff that he's wearing and Taryn's new setup on his couch. So check that out. And subscribe to Reality TV Rehap Ups as well. Get the Bachelor Rehap Up, the Challenge Podcast, Top Chef Podcast, this show, lots of great stuff. robiswebsite.com/Rehap Ups. Okay, guys, hashtag for this one. I've got a few. One, I was going to say hashtag comfortableness, because that was something that we talked about earlier in the podcast that Taryn said. The other one was They were at McDonald's. That was when Beast Mode Cowboy's family missed him getting fueled by the healer. I don't know what else you guys want to go. Humberto is saying hashtag naked Alex, because you're going to podcast naked.
Or African shaman. Yeah, along the lines.
Something like
African shaman.
So Brent, Taryn, anybody have any ideas? Are you cool with one of those ones that I gave?
I feel like comfortableness is the best one. It totally sums up Taryn's whole strategy. Like, he just picked like four comfortable people. Like, there's nothing special about them. They're just kind of comfortable.
And the comfortableness of Taryn's couch is really off the charts, at least how it looks. I mean, Taryn's just like sprawled out and he's like just chilling. It's so, I think hashtag comfortableness works. Yeah.
Team Vanilla.
Team Vanilla.
Let's not lump Liz into that, though. Yeah, Liz seems very exciting and interesting.
I do like Liz a lot.
Yeah, possibly. I'm waiting for
the
bed.
I've actually heard, I had a friend who was at a party that Liz was at in New York, and she seemed to be very fun based on that story. So she's definitely not vanilla. The rest, maybe a little Julia Landauer-ish, but that's okay. We'll see how the season goes. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today. Love to hear from you. Definitely tweet us. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Tweet us using the hashtag. Let us know what you thought. And leave some comments at robiswebsite.com. Always love reading those and checking those out and hearing what you guys thought of the draft. And maybe I'll get some tweets from Beast Mode Cowboy after this. This will be very entertaining. I don't think I will, because he's too big time for me, but him and his 300,000 social media followers. But
how amazing would it be, though, right?
Oh, it would be great. I'd love it. It would be so funny.
We can only hope.
A boy can dream. A boy can dream. All right, guys. Well, for Alex Kidwell, Taryn Armstrong, and Brent Wagamot, I'm Jordan Farhar. Hashtag comfortableness. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.